Okay, good. Well, welcome everyone to Youth Worship. For those of you who are new, a very warm welcome. And this is what we call this time is the Youth Worship. Well, first of all, happy Chinese New Year to everyone. I was asking my son, Liam, what's so special about Chinese New Year this year? And he said, well, this is the year of the mother. The mother? What's going on? I said, yes, because it's the year of the Ma. Yeah, and he thinks it's... No, I said, it's two different things. Mama and Ma are different. Unless you call your mother a horse, then there is something else altogether. Well, you know, we read in all the different things that has been given to us, you know, all the ampaos. I was giving up some ampaos, and there it says, wow, Ma Sang, Fa Cai. So they're all different things. And then the usual greeting is... Ma Dao Chen Gong, right? That's what it is, right? So the use of Ma in different ways. But today I thought, hey, if I were to give you a Chinese New Year greeting, what would I say? Now I talking about horses, okay, I'm gonna read for you this verse. So you remember this verse, okay? It's found in Psalm 20, verse 7. It reads, some trust in chariots. Wow. Some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Okay, so now you're going to see the big horse up there. What do you remember? Oh, some people trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But yourself, your personal conviction is, I will trust in the name of the Lord our God. But of course, when you greet your seniors, don't try to tell this to them. You might sound very disrespectful. Okay? Well, but this is, well, just a little Chinese New Year greeting to each and every one. Well, even as we begin this time of worship, well, today we're going to read quite a lengthy passage. So thank you to the Bible readers. They got quite a bit of task ahead of them. Well, if you can as well, and that I would encourage you very much to do so, is to take this time as we listen to the prelude. First, of course, quiet down your hearts. Prepare your hearts by way of prayer. But you can also prepare your hearts by way of reading the Lord's Word. And today, it is a lengthy passage, but all the more, we're going to try to see what we can learn from this passage, because we are quite close to the end of Deuteronomy already. And every time we come close to the end of a book, I feel a bit sad, because we have poured so much time and effort into it. But of course, all good things will come to an end, somewhat, in that sense. So we'll take some time to appreciate what we're going to read, and of course, see how else we're going to learn, what we can learn about today. Okay, well, let's have the prelude. Thank you. Well, the title of our message today is taken from Deuteronomy 31, 14 to 26. And it's this line that says, write down this song for yourselves. So even as we commence youth worship this afternoon, I'm going to try to ask you to do something a little bit different. And that is, even as we sing the songs later on, well, take some time to, even as you sing, don't just sing for the sake of singing. Now, look at the lyrics, hear what the chair people have to say, and try to understand what is the message of the song that is being shared with all of us. And that can help us understand a little bit of what we are trying to learn from today's text. You see, song, it is always very special and meaningful. And today, so instead of just going through the motion of singing song, you know, let us just take some time to think about the song, to not just sing as it is, but to look at it, try to understand it, and hopefully it become a bit more meaningful. All right? Okay, let's go to God in prayer, and let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so deeply grateful that you have given us your word. And we pray that even as we begin to read your word once again this afternoon, we pray that you will open your word to us. Help us understand deep truths from your word about you, about ourselves, and how we ought to live for you. And we pray for the young people here that their hearts will be open to hear your word. And through your word, somehow, your spirit will move their hearts to obedience toward you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Youth Worship. My name is Ethan.
And my name is Rain. And Ethan and I would like to wish everyone a happy Chinese New Year.
I wonder how everyone's Chinese New Year has been so far. Personally, I thank God for the opportunity where family can gather together again.
And Ethan, do you know we are only 22 days away from family camp? I wonder how much about family camp do you still remember?
Well, I attend family camp every year, so I think I know quite a bit.
Well, to get into the mood of family camp, Ethan and I have decided to play a short game of Kahoot to see how much you remember about family camp and how ready you are for this year's family camp. So can everyone use their phones and enter the code above? Okay, the people are starting to roll. Wow, we got Le Grandier.
No prize. Okay, 10 more seconds, then we start.
Okay, I think we can start first.
Yeah. Okay, let's begin.
So this... The first question. What was last year's family camp theme? We check if you were paying attention last year. Okay, very good. Most of y'all got it correct. Wow, Colette in the lead.
Wow, okay. Next question. How many swimming pools are there in Lee Grandeur? Very wonderful picture of Lee Grandeur's infinity pool.
There are two kids' pools, one Olympic pool and one normal pool, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, Lee Grandeur boss.
Do you know that? How many signups do we have currently for Family Camp 2026? The answer is 517, and it's our Bethany record high.
Okay. Lee Grandeur Palm Resort Johor is a how many star hotel? Think carefully.
It's quite a deceptive answer.
It's not what you think.
Yes, 4 stars, yeah, most people got it as well.
Good job.
Who are the camp commandants of this year's family camp? Wow, correct. It's Uncle George, Teacher Milton, and Teacher Casey. What is an essential item to bring to family camp? Oh, it's a trick question because all of them are essential. Yes, remember these 4 items.
Okay, for our last question. What is the theme for this year's family camp? I hope everyone gets this correct. Hey, that's good. Most of you got it correct. Wow.
Okay, the podium. We have Le Grandeur boss. Jerian, Lee, and Joven. And number one, we have Jamie. Okay, good job to everyone who played the game, and thank you so much for playing and entertaining us. Yeah, last year, unfortunately, I didn't get to go to camp because I was stuck in BMT. But this year, I'm very happy that I can get 5 days off of my NS to go to camp. And that makes family camp even more special. I realize I cannot take family camp for granted now because it's not as easy as to go to camp now as it was when I was in school. Growing up, I always came to family camp with a holiday mindset. My focus at camp used to be play, friends, and then a little bit of Bible study. Yeah, and as a child, the Lee Grandeur campus was flawless, rustic, and grand. And it was like a castle on a hill with all the food we could eat and all the facilities to use. And so this holiday mindset made up a big part of family camp. But this changed in Family Camp 2019, where the theme was Wells of Salvation. And it was at this camp that I experienced the adults program for the first time. Being in the main hall for the first time with all the adults, family camp felt different. From listening to the chairings and pastor's messages, I realized that my faith needed to grow. I could no longer treat camp as a holiday, but instead treat it as an opportunity to learn deep lessons from the Word of God. it was at that camp that I decided to consecrate my life to the Lord for the very first time as a response to learning the importance of God's word and faith in my life. And then from then on, from 2019, the next year's family camp and the subsequent years, I came with a different mindset, which was a mindset to learn. Of course, fun and fellowship are still a big part of camp, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the main focus of camp should be to learn from God's word. This year, as Pastor opens up the theme, Perfecting Holiness for us, I'm heading to camp with ears ready to listen, and most importantly, a humble heart ready to learn and receive the word of God. Matthew 13, verse 23 says, But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Just like the familiar parable of the sower, will our hearts be like the wayside? Or will our hearts be the good ground as we hear what is taught to us and let it take root so that we can grow and bear fruit? The song I've chosen for today is Oh How Good It Is. As we prepare for camp, this song is like a call to the church to raise our voices in praise together in unity. Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit, in faith, and in unity. Let's sing this song of praise to the Lord together. Thank you.
Thank you to the AV team and musicians for supporting today's worship. Truly, I thank God for another opportunity to attend family camp again. You know, I can't wait to learn from 2 Corinthians on perfecting holiness. This year, I've been given the opportunity to serve at the children's ministry again. The theme for the children's program isn't that far from the main one. It is taken from Leviticus 19, Be Holy. As I prepared to serve and attend camp, I decided to reflect on what it truly means to be holy. I went back to watch the past youth worship messages on Leviticus 19. To be holy is to be set apart. We are called by the Lord to be different in the way we live, behave, and act. Honestly, I asked myself, what does this mean in my daily life? How differently do I truly live? You know, an incident from secondary school comes to mind. I was talking with my friends, and the topic turned to religion and beliefs. They asked me if I believed in God. Proudly, I answered, yes, of course, I am a Christian. But they responded, really? I didn't even know you were a Christian. That hurt. Deep down, I was painfully convicted. I heard pastors share stories like this before, never thinking it would happen to me. Yet here I was, confronted with the reality that my life did not reflect the faith I claimed. How was I living? How was I acting in school? Looking back, I realized how hypocritical I was. I was no different from my friends, yet I professed having faith. That incident stayed with me. It kept resurfacing in my mind, prompting me to honestly reconsider how I was living and acting around my friends. When I came to faith, it was through this incident that I realized that if I truly followed Christ, it should reflect in my daily life and not just something I claimed with words. Perfecting holiness is not an instantaneous change, but a daily, ongoing sanctification through the work of the Holy Spirit. It affects and shapes the way we think and act each day. Now, being in poly, I am surrounded by people from many different backgrounds and influences. And if you ask some of my friends what they would be doing on Friday nights or Saturdays, you would often hear the same answers. Oh, we are going out drinking. Or we are going to the club. You know what makes this harder is that sometimes these responses come from people who claim that they go to church. So, I am faced with a decision. Do I conform to the world and seek acceptance? Or do I live as the Lord had called me to be holy and to be set apart? Do I compromise and say, I'll go out, but I won't drink? Or I choose not to be a part of completely? My decision is certain. I want to live out my faith. I've experienced the love and grace of God, and nothing compares to belonging to Him. So, as we prepare for camp and reflect on what it means to be holy and set apart. May our desire to be to live for Him each day. I'm looking forward to camp, as we can spend time learning and reflecting on what it means to perfect holiness, and how it should shape even the smallest parts of our lives. For those who cannot be with us in person, my encouragement is that you can still join us through tuning in to the messages online and learn alongside. That is why, for our final song today, I have chosen Living for Jesus. In a world full of influences that pull us away from Him, this is what we as Christians are called to do, to live for Jesus. Let us take our final song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, we will be reading from Deuteronomy 31, verses 14 to 26. In this passage, God commands Moses to write a song for Israel and her descendants, a song to serve as a witness for God and against Israel. Deuteronomy 31. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting, that I may inaugurate him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, 'Have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?' And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, in that they have turned to other gods."
Now therefore, write this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel, when I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat. Then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Then it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them."
Therefore, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, "Be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you." So it was, when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you."
Well, a happy Lunar New Year to all of you, and truly my joy to pray for all of us this afternoon. I was very much uplifted by what Pastor had to share last Saturday concerning having that strength and courage, both collectively and individually. See, I recall a time when I was studying over in Perth in uni, and some Christian friends and I, we climbed this tree, the Pemberton tree. It's a Gloucester tree. I'm going to show you a picture. The tree is 61 meters high. That's about 20 stories. And as you can see, it is steel rods that are protruding out of the trunk, and you climb that. So actually, I have a fear of heights. But nonetheless, we decided together to climb this. And my friends and I, we did it together, collectively. And we were encouraging each other. We prayed for each other. And there were two ladies with us, so I didn't want to lose face also. But we were able to overcome our fear and really reach the top of the tree, which is a fire lookout. It was really beautiful. So I really appreciate this concept of a collective strength and courage that we can have even as a youth worship, as a church. See, when Moses challenged the people of Israel and Joshua to be strong and of good courage and assured them that the Lord would be with them. And this is something that we want to pray for as a group. And especially as we think about reaching out to our friends for our Easter lunch. So let's do so as a team, as individuals, as we try and invite our friends, even as we try and reach out to them, that they will be able to truly come to know the Lord. And let's pray that God will reach out to them and that our friends may be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that we want to pray as we turn to God this afternoon. Let's turn to God. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to thank you that we can be part of the youth worship and to be part of Bethany. And together we can learn what it means to have strength and courage to do things collectively and individually and not to be afraid. We pray that we can learn to reach out to our friends and to invite them for the Easter lunch. May this be a wonderful opportunity for them to know you and to discover the Lord Jesus Christ. May we seek to be a light to them. We pray that you will bless our outreach program. Bless us all even as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, everyone, for your part in the worship service thus far. Well, we turn to Deuteronomy 31, and it has been very wonderfully read for us. So we should be quite familiar, I think, at least on a base level, given that we have read through these verses. Now, this is Deuteronomy 31, and this is towards the end of Deuteronomy already. Now, I don't know about you, but what helps me to understand things is that I like to see a big picture of things. So I need to know for myself where I'm going and where I'm going towards. So sometimes if you go to the zoo, I like to look at the map because I just need to know where I am in this whole big place. I don't know whether that applies for you, but that helps me very much. And so that also applies to my reading of Deuteronomy. So I'm going to share with you a little bit of what I did to help me prepare to come to Deuteronomy 31. So what is essentially this book all about? And I think the first thing is that this whole book essentially is to help the people of Israel be ready to enter the Promised Land. And that is essentially what Moses, the leader, has been trying to help them to be ready as they enter the land of Canaan. Of course, he will pass soon. and he wants to give them all that they need so that they can be well prepared, they can be ready. And how did he do it? So along the way, he reviewed the things that they had been doing in the past 40 years. And along the way, of course, reflected to see the Lord's hand that has helped them all this while. So this is reading the first part of Deuteronomy. Then it goes on, moving on. If we see how God has truly been there for us, how ought we to respond then? And so he teaches them what it means to walk, to fear, to love, to keep, to serve. So these are the parts of Deuteronomy that is coming into place. Then along the way, he needs to remind them of the laws, the many, many laws that are written, that was given in the past, and now to reiterate them again. So to remind them by way of explanation, by practical ways, you know, to put on the doorposts, to put on the frontlets of their eyes, you know, to just remind them of the laws, especially as they enter the new land, to warn them the things that they must take note of. Finally, there's also results. So if you obey the Lord, there'll be blessings. If you don't obey, there'll be curses. This is 27, 28. Then it moves on. Renewal. Renewal of the covenant, which we read not that many weeks ago in Deuteronomy 29. Then now, are the people truly ready to enter the land yet? So now we come to 31. And now God does something truly remarkable. How can they be really ready to enter this land? And God gave a remarkable command, and that is found in verse 19. So we see how we have moved across all the different chapters until we come to 31. And now this is the context in which God gives this command. How will they be better ready to enter the land? It reads in verse 19, "Now therefore, write down this song for yourselves." You see, God did not just give another law to be written down. God did not ask Moses to explain again another law. What he did was to ask Moses to write a song. Now that is really quite remarkable in that sense. And how is this song meant to be passed? Or how is this song meant to be taught? Let's read. "Now therefore, write down this song for yourself. One, teach it to the children of Israel." So this song is not meant to be written and then archived, put somewhere, to collect dust, to put it in a corner, and this is just a song. It's meant to be taught to the children of Israel, every single one, from the adults, even all the way to the children. So this is what the song is meant to be, how it's meant to be expressed, and how it's meant to be delivered. So teach it to the children of Israel. Number two, put it in their mouths. So it's not a song just to be read and that's it. They are meant to memorize it literally, to sing it. So in the past, there's no, you know, loose parchments that you can go around and say, okay, this is the song. There's no iPhone for you to refer to. There are no tablets. Well, there's a different kind of tablet, stone tablets. But there is, you know, you to know a song, you have to memorize it. So you got to put it in their mouths. And then, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And so what does it mean for the song to be taught then? It has to be memorized, it has to be actively sung, and it's also meant to be passed down from generation to generation. So this is God's command. And you would think, why did God give such a command? You see, many times He's revealed with them, He has asked them to respond, He has given them laws that reminded them again and again, explained the laws, and now a song. Why a song? And let's just take some time to understand this for a bit. Because when God says, write down a song, what is God saying? God is saying that He understands us very well. He understands our makeup. Makeup means how we are created as humans. You see, song and music, somehow, they speak very deeply to us. You know, it is said that the universal language of the entire world is not English or Mandarin, now that there are many Chinese all over the place. It is actually music. It is song. And song speak deeply to us because, one, they're able to reach our minds. So when lyrics are meaningful, they can, you know, just, they express a thought that, you know, makes us perk up for a bit, you know, to help us to see things in a different light. That's what song is. So they're able to speak to our mind, they're able to speak even to our emotions. That's when music comes in. And of course, they're able to speak to our memories. Now, how do I understand this? Let me just share with you a quick illustration. I don't know whether you've heard watched the show Coco. Is it Coco? Yes. Coco. Now, Coco is a Disney film. And it's about a boy in Mexico. And of course, you know the story. So on the way back from the trip, I watched the show Coco on the plane. And it was really late. I couldn't sleep. So a late night. And then I was just, okay, let's just watch the show for a bit. And there came to this scene. It was the end, if you can remember, where this little boy, the main character, was singing the song "Remember Me" to the grandmother. And I don't know how or why, I was just so moved by it. I think for a few reasons. One, the song was very nice. Two, that grandmother looked like, I'm not kidding, the grandmother looked like my own grandmother. My own maternal grandmother who had passed on. And he was singing that song to her, "Remember Me, no. Anyway, and somehow I was just so moved. And I told myself, hey, don't cry, you are in a plane, right? And look, there are people around you and it'd be so embarrassing. But the more I told myself, stop it, the tears just came. And I really bawled, you know, it's like, and I was just crying, and the tears just came, and it was just so moving. It was so moving, and I cried so much until the stewardess that came by, like, excuse me, sir, are you okay? Because I was watching it, then I had my Bible in front of me, because I was reading it earlier. I had a drink in my hand, and she said, hey, sir, are you okay? Is that something I can do for you? I was like, I didn't want to speak because the more I speak, I'll sound even worse, right? But he said, can I help you with anything? And then in a zhaoxian voice, I said, this you. It was so embarrassing. But you know, somehow, that is what it is. Music are able to speak to the heart, speak to the mind, speak to the memories. It was embarrassing also because on the way out on the plane, they greet you to say bye-bye. And then the soldier said, are you okay, sir? You know, I'm fine. Let's not talk about it ever again. But, you know, that's what it is. So music is somehow, and song is extremely powerful. Now, how powerful it is. Now, I was also reading, you know, just to prepare for this message about different songs that are there. Now, in 1871, there was a man, a French man, by the name of Eugène Potier. He wrote this song called The Internationale. It's to celebrate the French movement, called the French Commune. It's like the liberation, the French Revolution. Now, it became such a hit across the entire world that anybody, the people who supported this socialist movement, that song became their anthem. Now, how much of anthem it became? Now, and then in 1989, when, you know, if some of you are familiar with history, some students, they protested at Tiananmen Square. These Chinese students, you know what they sang as they met the tanks head on? Of course, it was a sad time. But to stir their courage, to inspire the patriotism that they had, they sang the exact same song. And it was recorded in history. That was such a powerful time because nobody could forget their voices, nobody could forget what they sang, and nobody could forget the courage that they stood there in the square before the army and the tanks. Of course, it was a very sad time. But you see how music and song can truly inspire, can truly become something that is so stirring. And that is it. We Singaporeans, we understand. And it is no less a powerful educational tool. Singaporeans, we understand. How do you understand Singapore's history? We are Singapore. There was a time when people said we couldn't make it, but we did. Right? And it's just a part of us. And the examples can go on and on. But the point of it all is that God knows our makeup. And God knows that sometimes to help us to really understand and to remember Him and to inspire us, we need song. We need no less than meaningful, powerful songs that can really help us to understand things well. Okay, but we must move on in a bit. Now, what is important to know? What is an important part of a song? Who is one of the most important people in the song? And that is none other than the composer. So let's try to understand. And the composer is none other than Moses himself. So you read this very clearly in 22. Therefore, it is Moses. So Moses was commanded to write the song. And did he obey? Yes. In 22, Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Now, when we look at a song, it's always actually quite meaningful to understand the person who wrote the song. Because when you understand the person's context, when you understand the person's setting, then you can appreciate the song a little better. For example, one of the hymns that is wonderfully sung is a song called Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Are you familiar with that song? So, Precious Lord, take my hand, lift me up, help me stand. And this song was actually written by a man called Thomas Dorsey. How did he write this song? It did not song, it just, okay, I thought of a song and that's it. There was a background to how he wrote the song. You see, he was an evangelist. And evangelists, what they would do in the past, they would go to different areas and they would lead these things called revival movements. So, you know, let me share the word of God with you. You know, let me in that way revive your faith, revive your heart. While he was on one of these trips, he received word that his wife, who was pregnant and ready to give birth and had given birth, unfortunately, sadly, she died during childbirth. And it just broke his heart. Not only that, the next day, the baby that had been delivered also did not survive. So one day, wife passed on. Next day, son passed on. And if you were to understand what it means to have a family member who passed on like this, it is absolutely heartbreaking. And for a period of time, he couldn't do anything. So he was just absolutely lost, absolutely stunned. And so they go through the funeral. And it was a painful time, of course. And a few days after the funeral, somehow he just found himself walking to the piano, sat down there, and he just played this tune. And this song came to his heart, came to his mind. I am weak. You know? Help me, Lord, take my hand. And that's how this song came about in the first place. Precious Lord, take my hand. And when you understand the composer, when you understand the whole background behind a song, it makes a song more meaningful. And that's what we're trying to understand here as well. Now, we look at Moses, the composer. And why is it that Moses was so significant as a composer? Not just any other person. Why? Because Moses wrote at least three songs in the Old Testament. There's the Psalms, there's Exodus, and now there's Deuteronomy 32, which we call, later on we'll read, it's the Song of Moses. So not only was Moses a leader, he was also a songwriter. And he'll be most apt to write this song. First, he had been there since the beginning. We've been studying Moses' life, and we understand the difficulties that he had to go through with the nation of Israel. And all the more when he wrote these lines of the song, which we will cover in the next few weeks, you can understand how he understood God and how he appreciated God and how he also saw the nation of Israel as in covenant with God. And that makes it even more meaningful and special. So he had been there since the beginning. He knew the problems of Israel firsthand. And most importantly, he knew God most closely. And that really makes the song even more special because it's not written by any other person. It was written by none other than the great Moses himself. And so that's how we want to understand on what these things are. But also, let me move on now. We have the command. We have the composer. The question now is, as what I tried to help you understand a little bit earlier, is that in any song, there is a message to be communicated. What is the message to be communicated in this song? And I'd just like to highlight to you this in verse 20. So when I brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, okay? This is what is meant to be communicated from God to true Moses, of which I swore to my fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat. Then they will turn to other gods and serve them, and they will provoke me and break my covenant. Now, if you just read it very quickly, it seems that, oh, it's all so bad, right? Of course, Israel's unfaithfulness foretold. It seems that that is the bigger thing. But before we go to that, we need to understand the first few lines. Just don't forget the first few lines. Verse 20, when I have brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat. Stop for a bit. What does this tell you? What is the song meant to communicate? Later on, of course, it's Israel's unfaithfulness, which we will read in quite a bit, that is elaborated, that is there. But before we go there, what does it tell you first? The first thing that is meant to be communicated in this song is none other than God's faithfulness. Do you see that? You see, it is God who is faithful. He was the one who brought them to the land, flowing with milk and honey. Was he obliged to do that in that sense? Even after they had sinned against him time and time again? Well, not really. But yet he still did. He brought the people into the land of Israel. And how much did he give to them? So much that they ate, they filled themselves, and they became fat. Can you see the Lord's abundant provision out of his deep, gracious faithfulness? That is quite amazing, isn't it? And so you see first, in this song, it sounds like it's such a dull, hard, painful song. True. But there's also another part that you cannot forget, which is God's faithfulness through it all. And that is the thing that absolutely stands out. That God's faithfulness, he, out of his grace and mercy, out of the promises he gave to the forefathers, out of his covenantal relationship, his covenantal faithfulness to the people of Israel, he was just faithful to them. He blessed them in every single way. He prospered them. Now that is at least the first thing that must be communicated in the song. But the other part is also very real. And now we read the thing that comes up again and again. This is Israel's unfaithfulness as foretold. While God will prosper them, and they, of course they will, you know, be so prosperous, they'll become complacent and sin against him. Why? Because this essentially, as you read this part here, verse 21, it shall be when many troubles and evils have come upon them, this song will testify against them as a witness, for it will be not forgotten in the mouths of their descendants. For I know the inclination of their behavior, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them. Why is it that they will surely sin against God? Because this was the inclination of their behavior. They were just sinful beings, sinful human creatures. So we read this, and then of course they will turn to other gods and serve them. They provoke God to anger, and they will break his covenant. So there's God's faithfulness, Israel's unfaithfulness as foretold. Now the third part that's meant to be communicated, it's found that God's, the certainty of God's discipline upon the nation. So Israel's disobedience will not be without consequence. God's anger will be aroused against them. So we read this quite clearly, 17 and 18. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Many evils and troubles shall befall them. So they will say in that day, have not these evils come upon us? Of course. So this is, and I will surely hide my face, verse 18, because of all the evil which they have done. So three parts in this song. One, God's faithfulness. Israel's foretold unfaithful, sorry, God's faithfulness. Israel's foretold unfaithfulness. And then the punishment that they will surely face. And so we now move on for a bit. This is just to give you the background. What is the song essentially? It is found in Deuteronomy 32, which we will not cover, which will be done in the next few weeks. But you can, at least, this will give you a background to the song as you're going to study it. And over the next few speakers, we'll explain this to you. But this is the point of it all, is that first, there was a command that God gave to Moses to write this song. Number two, composer, none other than Moses himself. He'll be best apt to write this song. Three, what was meant to be communicated, and you will see these points come up again and again. The actual content will be found in 32. So you see again and again. But what is beautiful about 32, if I can just highlight one part of it for you, is that while it's gloomy, while God's faithfulness is there, while it is sad, of course, when you see Israel's sin against God and the punishment, at the end of it all, it's still, there is still hope. And it reads that God, if I could just read this verse for you, verse 43, in 32 now. Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants and render vengeance to his adversaries. He will provide atonement for his land and his people. While it does sound sad, what is really special is that there is still hope at the end of the day. Now, what can we learn even as we go through and understand Deuteronomy 31 as a chapter? What are we meant, the word now as the final thought is this, what are we meant to comprehend from all of these things? The command, the composer, the communication, the content, what are we meant to comprehend as a group of young people or as a congregation? One is that God desires to help us in every single way. Now, in the case of Israel, he gave to them a song through Moses. And what is God trying to do? He's trying to help them prepare for the times ahead, sought to prepare them and to warn them through a way that would speak best to them. You see, many, many times already in the previous chapters, he has done a lot. Now, one more thing that he will do is to give a song. And the idea behind it all is God, it does want to help us. God does want to help you to do what it is that you need to do. And he gave to Israel a song. But what is also quite important, as we need to understand this part, is that for those scripture readers, to Beth and Laura, what word comes out again and again? Do you realize? For those who we now read the entire chapter, what word comes out again and again? Do you know? And this is an important word, and the word is witness. Witness comes out at least four times, okay? So we read, right? Now therefore write this song for yourself, verse 19, number one, right? That this song may be a witness for me. Number two, 21, this song will testify against them as a witness. Number three, 26, take this book of the law, put it beside the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that it may be there as a witness against you. Then number four, gather to me all the elders, right? Moving on, that I may speak these words in the hearing and call heaven and earth to witness against them. So the idea of witness comes out again, and that's what song is meant to be. This song was meant to serve as a witness to the people of Israel. One, a witness on one hand, a witness for God, that to all that he has done for them, to his mercy and his loving kindness, to his unchanging faithfulness. This is a witness for God. But at the same time, it's a witness against Israel. So they cannot deny as they will sin in the future. They cannot deny that they have not been warned. They cannot deny they are not warned of the disaster that will befall them. They cannot claim ignorance. Now this is important. And we read actually earlier on in Deuteronomy 17 that when there is two or three witnesses, a fact is established. Here we have at least four different parties of witnesses. Because of the song, God becomes a witness. The people are witness to themselves as they sing the song. The book of the law, the Torah, is a witness again as it's placed in the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. Heaven and earth also becomes a witness. You see this part here? So this song not only serves as a witness for God, it serves as a witness against Israel. Now, how do we understand this today in terms of the ministry of song? And one is that songs are meant to be most meaningful. If you read the example of the song given in 32, and you will see beautiful words that are said. Of course, over the next few weeks, this will be looked into a bit more. But there are beautiful descriptions of God, but also very sad descriptions of Israel. And we look at the song that is written for us these days. Now, we need to ask ourselves, some songs are not always worthwhile singing. That is the truth. Because when we read the biblical idea of songs, this is what it's meant to be. And so when we decide on how to choose songs, we need to choose songs that are truly meaningful, because that is what a song is meant to be. And that is what a song, the power of a song, can do for all of us. Songs are meant to be so beautiful. One, as God is beautifully portrayed poetically. Two, as God's truth are expressed in fresh perspectives. So thank God for those who are able to write poems and write songs. Well, thank God for you, because you have a unique gift. You have a powerful way in which you can express the truth of God. And that is something absolutely wonderful, absolutely worth developing further. Now, how do I understand that? I was just going through some of the things that has really moved me. There were many years ago, before I became a pastor, there was one poem, you can call it a song, a poem, that moved me very much to decide to enter into the full-time ministry. And this was written by a pastor, and it's called The Call of God. I actually have it here, and it's a poem from a long time ago. And it said, this lines that spoke to me, because I was really unsure whether I should even enter the full-time ministry. But these words just somehow spoke to me, because it was expressed in a way that I could understand. One, this is talking about a voice. So could this voice be God's very own? Could I discern His gentle, loving tone? I need to be sure, and so I pray. Reveal Yourself and lead me day by day. Then this line that just made me so sure, with each passing day, it becomes clear. God's presence dispels my deepest fear. He has called many in the past. And this line, God calls me personally at last. And I cannot fully explain to you, but somehow those words just spoke to me. And I knew for certain that God has called me into the full-time ministry. You see, songs, poems, these are wonderful things, because they bear witness of God. They express truth in a way that we may not fully understand through this medium as compared to something else. And this is, so thank God for those who are able to write good things about God, good poems and songs. Now, what is the message for all of us then? As much as a song has been written, what do the songwriters need? They need someone to sing the song, right? Because, you know, a songwriter can write songs, and if nobody sings the song, then he is just singing his own tune, literally. So for those of us who sing, for those of us who sing the songs about God, what can we do? One, understand that a song is meant to bear witness of God. Every single hymn bears witness of God. Good hymns, that is what they do. They bear witness of God. And our part is to be stirred up to obedience, as we understand God afresh. So as we sing, as we go for worship and the next few weeks ahead, you know, when you sing a song, may you be moved. Don't just sing for the sake of singing. Sing because it speaks about God, and may your heart be stirred up to obedience. But there's also another part to song. And as much as you sing and you, the song bears witness of God, it also bears witness against you. How so? You see, songs testify against us. As we sing the song, right? They testify against us when we live in disobedience, but yet we still sing the song. That is what the ministry of song is like. So sometimes we sing, well, you know, Lord, take my life and let it be. Now, how much are you actually asking God to take your life and let it be? So it's, on one hand, it is encouraging, we should be stirred to obedience. But the other hand, it is a stern reminder. Hey, wait, there is a way that I should live. And this song is reminding me of that. This song, as written in Deuteronomy 32, that was the purpose of the song towards the nation of Israel. A witness against them, a witness for God. In our application today, that is also how we ought to reply to this song, how we ought to sing songs. And truly, may we learn how to appreciate the ministry of song so much more. But one, know that in every single thing that we do, may we be stirred to just sing good songs about God. But also, as we sing, may we be even more conscious that truly, we are singing, and sometimes the songs may be hard, but it tells us maybe there's something that we should look into for our lives. So, you know, may this message, may this word just encourage. This is truly just a background first of what we're going to study in the next few weeks. But at least we can understand for a start what the ministry of song is all about. Okay? Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for this word that we can read. This word about this song that was given to Moses to teach to the people of Israel. And we pray that even as we understand this idea of song so much more, we pray that we will be stirred in every single part of worship to just obey you, to love you, to just go closer to you in every single way possible. And we thank you for that you have given us good songs to sing. And we pray all the more that we will learn what it means to just walk in your ways as we sing this song. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. So every time we sing, may this lesson be just send out so much more to us, that truly, in every way, maybe use every opportunity to worship God aright. Okay, well, see you all tomorrow.